We know the cleaners and painters come in at noon, remove everything, freshen up the walls, and leave a spiffy, if bare, Oval Office for the next guy or gal. But what really happens during presidential transitions? And what should? For a view of how to make transition more open and transparent, as part of our continuing series, Tracking the Transition, we turn to Alex Howard, senior analyst at the Sunlight Foundation. Alex, good to have you back.
It's great to be on again. Thanks.
What do you mean in your thesis here of the idea of openness in transition?
Well, as you know, and no doubt many of your listeners know, the transition this year has become more institutionalized than ever before in American history. We've seen, due to the foresight of Congress and an executive order by the president earlier this year, there's now funding to the tune of $10 million or so, and a White House Transition Coordinating Council and a Director's Council to create the specific movements 6 months ahead of time that will enable an orderly and peaceful movement from one administration to the next. That institutionalization creates some opportunities to make sure that the approaches that the Obama administration voluntarily adopted in 2008 become part of the norms for transitions, because while Congress created funding, they did not apply some of the ethics requirements that we would expect to see in the transition, and both prior to and after the election. We can talk about what those might look like. And also some of the disclosure requirements that you often will see with federal spending elsewhere. As a result, there's something of a black box, and while we believe there should be protections for the aspects of it that have to do with, say, national security, there's many other areas of the transition that would significantly benefit the public interest if they were disclosed in an ongoing manner.
Because the Office of Government Ethics does advise all of the candidates and all of the appointees once there is a new president-elect on what their ethical responsibilities are insofar as the law extends. Do you think that goes far enough, or is there more here that needs to be known and disclosed?
No, I don't think it goes far enough. I think that having Norm Eisen as a ethics czar in 2008 set an appropriate tone and had an appropriate oversight of what was happening throughout the post-election process, and indeed into the administration's first couple of years. And I think that the tone that set around ethics, set around disclosure, set around public engagement and information, those really do transfer over to the administration and the way that they, I think, operate and run. And while you and I have both been critical of the Obama administration's record on transparency, there's really no doubt at this point that the way they started out is the way we'd like to see every administration start out, really highlighting open government ethics as important to American democracy and to the institution of the White House itself.
So as someone gets elected and they start naming who their people are, what types of information do you think specifically could those people start letting us know about?
Well, you know, Sunlight outlined five different principles for transparency in the transition. One is to proactively outline to the public the steps they're taking, the people that they're hiring to run it, the timelines for vetting appointees, and particularly those related to foreign policy, national security, and public safety. There should be some transparency in who the people are with respect to the work that they've done and any potential conflicts of interest. They're going to be making personnel decisions. As your listeners know, I think there's something on the order of 4,000 political appointees that need to come in before Inauguration Day or get vetted, get lined up. It's a lot to do. We'd like to see the teams establish accessible websites and social media feeds that provide ongoing updates regarding the status of that work. And to provide ways for people to weigh in with ideas. I think change.gov could be easily repurposed and used in the same way it was in late 2008. I'd like to see all the records be preserved for posterity, regardless of their format. I think there's a lot of things that we know can't be disclosed until some time to come, but need to make sure that they're around. And frankly, we want to see a lot more disclosure of contributions coming in as structured data online, and that senior staff sign an ethics pledge and a final national disclosure form and put that online too. We're aware of a media report that indicates at least one of these teams is selling access to a confidential briefing to people who pay the maximum $5,000 donation to the campaign. And strongly feel that that should be, and it's just the transition, I should say, not the campaign, and strongly feel that should be disclosed in a more timely manner than the law requires, in GSA reports, you know, after the election, and that the public should have some idea of who is providing advice on different counts. Frankly, there are very large number of ways we can get some insight into the fitness of someone for office, but their judgment in terms of who they hired to run the transition, who they hire as advisors, the competency of the management of that transition, that's actually a pretty good proxy for understanding how this person is going to approach being in office.
We're speaking with Alex Howard, senior analyst at the Sunlight Foundation, and I want to return to that principle that in your report you call posterity, which is not putting everything through a shredder. There's a lot of information involved here. I think when the Clinton administration gave way to the George W. Bush administration, it was something like megabytes of data. Mm-hmm. And when Bush gave away to Obama, it was already up to terabytes of information. And when the Obama administration leaves, it's probably going to be petabytes of information in all different formats imaginable. How can that be somehow cogently made available to people that might want to search it?
I don't think it's a technical problem in the way that it might have been 10 years ago. I think it's a policy choice. I think that there's a series of smart decisions they would need to make all along the way, for instance, with respect to collecting donations or disclosing spending, doing so in the way that Sunlight has recommended all along, and the president's since ordered the government to approach this, which is machine-readable data. You know, these are not things that are, I think, out of the mainstream or out of the realm of possibility in 2016. It's simply a matter of the head of the transition team and the candidate as well deciding that this is a priority and that making sure that disclosure is part of the process and that accountability and ethics are baked in as principles in the transition so that they become part of how the administration approaches the work of government as well. You know, we are a democratic country. They are working for us. Their work product is being funded with taxpayer dollars now. It is wholly appropriate that we not only see the fact that something is happening, but get some insight into what is happening, and hopefully have some more information about how they're thinking through improving upon what the Obama administration did 8 years ago, and at the very least rising to the same standards of accountability, ethics, and transparency that they set.
Alex Howard is senior analyst of the Sunlight Foundation. Thanks so much for joining me.
It was a pleasure to join you as always. Thank you.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends. Find all of our coverage, tracking the transition, at federalnewsradio.com.